Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
Maybe for your life as well, you're thinking, I want 2025, God, to be so different. And yes, that's a good thing. I want this to be the best year ever. And I think especially spiritually, we think about goals and we think about New Year's resolutions. How many of the New Year's resolutions is here? Raise your hand. I don't give a lot of hand raising. I'm doing that. Nobody used to make New Year's resolutions. You guys are terrible because of the word. You're at least pretend that you believe. You know, pretend that you believe that you can do it. I've been using resolutions. I've kept like 60% so far and do okay for me, you know. And usually they're like losing weight or getting healthy or spending more time with the family. There could be a bunch of things you have New Year resolutions about. But I think we also need to think about how do we want to change spiritually with our relationship with Christ. How do we want to, we don't think about this very much, right? We think about the outer, the physical world. But what about our spiritual? What about our connection with Christ? About growing closer to Jesus, about putting away sin, about spending more time in the Word of God. Maybe there's some of the things that are ringing a bell for some of you. And as we grow and we want to change, especially in the new year, yes, it's physical, it's mental, it's emotional, and it's spiritual, right? Maybe you want a better marriage. Maybe you want to be better parents. Maybe you want a better work relationship. Maybe you want to find a way to get some rest, as Lori was talking about during worship. We're all super tired. Maybe there's a way that we could rest and recharge and recover. And, you know, we as a church, we had a vision for 2024. Maybe you don't know what it is. And here was the vision for 2024. To continue to grow in numbers and in depth in the Lord. To find more leaders and to be united as a body outside of just the Friday service. And to develop a vision and mission for God's kingdom in Kuwait. And we did all those things. Now, is that because I'm an amazing leader and I just have great strategy? No, I didn't even probably think about most of this stuff most of the year. I'm just trying to survive, like all of us. But I think it's because last year, at the same time, we fasted and we prayed. And we let God do his work. And all that happened. We're at record numbers. We have more leaders than ever. We still need more servants, but we have more than ever. And we developed a mission and a vision for what we are as Crossroad International Church. Just to repeat it to you, it's on our website. The mission of CIC, we exist to model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus among all the nations in Kuwait. So we did it. Right? That's it. We made it. Right? Now, fulfilling it is a little difficult, right? But we see it's something on paper that we can say we believe it. And what about your own vision for 2024? Last year, your resolutions, your goals, your dreams, your hopes with people, with God, with yourself. How well did you fulfill that? Take a minute and think, right? And often, unfortunately, the research shows when we have resolutions or there's a change in the New Year's, a great time to do that. But the research shows they usually fizzle by mid-February, right? Most people, the vast majority of people, they fizzle out and don't do it by middle of February, which is like super sad. But that's the research. That's the reality. So how do we have staying power to fulfill our vision and goals? It's not just effort, right? You know, from my culture, it's a very much pull yourself up by your bootstraps, force yourself, put in more efforts, work as hard as you can, and you can do it. Well, that's been done, right? We've all done that. And some of us have still failed. So it's more than just putting effort, maximum effort into something, because we just have limited capacity. That's just who we are. We are not God. As Lori said, you know, we're acknowledging when we raise it, it's like, God is God and we are not. We are not in a lot of different ways because we have limited capacity, right? We wear out. We get tired. We get exhausted. Our brains fizzle over time. So I think it needs something else. I think it needs a special time before the Lord, and I think it needs a fast. So here's my big idea for this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. So my big idea is fasting. What is fasting? Fasting is denying ourselves, seeking God, and being transformed. Fasting is denying ourselves, seeking God, and being transformed. So Luke chapter 4, have your Bibles turned there. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And we're going to skip down to verse 14. Verse 14, you're there. So he's sent by the devil. And then verse 14 is, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So when we talk about the big idea for fasting, there's 3 points I want to talk about. Fasting is first denying the flesh, right? Fasting is a time of sacrifice to the Lord, right? After Jesus was baptized, in this passage, Jesus was living his normal life. He wanted to go into ministry at around age 30, but he wanted to be baptized by his cousin, John, the baptizer. He goes into the water. He comes out. The Spirit descends like a dove. God says, "This is my Son, to whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit leads him to the wilderness, right? Not the explosion that you think would happen. Like, everyone saw the star descending, God saying, "This is my Son, I'm well pleased." And you think, yes, this is the time we started. We got all these signs and miracles. But no. Rather, he goes to a place of solitude and silence and fasting. Right? He fasted for 40 days. He ate nothing. I mean, you can't deny the text there, right? So no food. He was tempted by the devil himself to quit. Right? That first passage, but turn these stones into bread. You're hungry, Jesus. Do this then. And you can eat. And it's a miracle. And it's amazing. But he did it. He didn't give in. So what is fasting? So first of all, just to be clear, fasting does not create a relationship with Jesus, right? If you don't know Jesus, but you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus, fasting is not going to change anything about your life. If you know Jesus, if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, if he rose again on the third day, and you believe that as truth, and that you've changed your life and you worship Jesus as Savior and Lord, then fasting has value. But to be clear, it does not create a relationship with Christ. So you must believe first that he did those things and that he rules and reigns in your life and that he can do whatever he likes with you. And it's his life, not yours anymore. So to be clear, if you don't know, if you're not convinced in your heart and your mind that is true, that you're going to heaven when you die, no matter what, then this message is not for you. Your message for you is, get right with Jesus. You can see me after if you want to have that relationship with Jesus. Because this will not create it. This will actually probably make your problem worse because it becomes about pride. Right? Like, I can do this by myself. So if you're not 100% sure, please see me. Please see Scott. See one of our leaders. And we would love to talk to you more about Jesus. So, but if you do believe, if you already know, I'm going to heaven when I die, no matter what, then fasting is one of the spiritual disciplines we have. Just like reading the Bible. Does reading the Bible make you a Christian? Absolutely not. But if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Christ, you read his word because you want to know him better. And fasting is another spiritual discipline like that. Right? So it's traditionally, historically, fasting means no food. And food, the reason no food is because food provides nourishment and it provides comfort for us. Right? We all have challenging lives where you're raising kids or working hard. We always look forward to our lunch break or dinner with our family and friends, going out, ordering Calabat, whatever that thing is. Food provides like a reprieve or a rest or a break from whatever you're dealing with, right? Because you feel refreshed after you eat. Your dopamine and your endorphins, they all go up. They're all firing. Like, yes, this tastes good. This feels good. I enjoy this, right? And you're satisfied afterwards. And as people, that's one of the ways that we're limited is that we depend on food, right? We need it to survive. So it provides comfort. It continues our survival. And we need it. It's something that is part of who we are. In fact, I heard a story a long time ago. It was a podcast, This American Life. And it was talking about a story about a cop. A police officer who got shot on the stomach. And he had to be fed intravenously for a long time. But God made a relationship with food so powerful that he wanted to experience it. So he just stuck his fingers, like his wife had made a cake. He stuck his fingers, just to get that physical connection with the food, right? Because we're connected that way. There's a relationship there. Right, we don't often admit it or talk about it, but there's a relationship with the food that we eat. So he stuck his hand in his head just to feel something. And that's why I tell my wife, I eat with my hands sometimes because I want to feel it. And that's very normal in this culture. Right? I see people eating their hands all the time. My parents didn't raise me very well. I didn't like eating with a fork and knife too much. But we have this connection. It's a significant part of who we are. Right? And this is this intimate relationship because God created this as well. Right? He created us to depend on food. And it's difficult and challenging to give that up for a time. So first of all, you know, it's something that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to do this. Right? So fasting for us is something that God leads you to do. Right? And we're doing this as a church. And I felt that God's led us to go into this fast. And many churches do this. And I'm at eight. And fasting is not just what we're doing this week, which I'll talk about at the end. Fasting should be a normal part of human practice. But it's especially a time when God's telling you something, when he's speaking to you. I've mentioned this friend before. I had a good friend whose marriage is falling apart. And he also rented a cabin in the U.S. and fasted for 40 days to get wisdom from God because this is a major part of his life that was falling apart. And he got that from God. God spoke to him because God led him to do that. So fasting, it's a giving up of food, there's many different kinds of fasts. You know, the most traditional, the fast that Jesus did, you're drinking water, but you're not consuming food, right? You only live 3 days without water, right? So you can't really do a 40-day without water unless you are supernaturally carried by God. But usually the traditional fast is you're drinking only water, but you're denying yourself food. There's the Daniel fast. And here's what it says in the book of Daniel. It says, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. So this is where you're kind of, you're limiting your food in some way instead of eating the normal meats and cheeses and the wonderful things that we enjoy. Daniel and his compatriots, they limit themselves to water and vegetables only. Because they didn't want to eat the kid's food, the king's food, which was not kosher, it's not halal, and they wanted to show that God is more powerful than whatever food you get. Right? So that could be another way you fast. If you can't really do fasting with only water, you could do this as well. So that means like no meat, no sweets, something that gives you nutrients, but it's not rich food. That's kind of the idea about the Daniel fast. I've also done juice fasts where you're having no solid food. I've done a juice fast before, and this basically drinking either broth or fruits that are mixed in a juicer. And it can also be, so these are some of the ways that we fast as believers. But it can also be other things, right? Anything that you depend on that gives you pleasure, that gives you joy and distraction can also be a way that you fast, like thing like the TV or screen time, right? It's anything that you depend on, that you need for your joy, right? Our common joy as believers, joys in this world. And there's many legitimate things that we enjoy. Those things aren't evil necessarily. Food is not evil. Even some time on the TV and technology is not evil. But we're taking legitimate things that God has given us. We're saying, no, God, I got you more than those things. It doesn't have to be a full, like, so we're fasting the next 6 days. Maybe you can taper it. Maybe you just fast a meal each day, depending on your condition and what you and your heart and your family have decided to do. You say, you know, I'm going to skip dinner. Because dinner is where you usually eat too much, or breakfast, or whatever that is. You're giving up something. You're sacrificing something to the Lord. But it's something we need. So that's kind of what it is, right? It's not something that priestless should be God, but it's something we're denying for God. So fasting is first denying the flesh. Second, fasting is drawing closer to God. This is the crux of what fasting is about. Right? In that passage, right, the devil says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And Matthew adds, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So I just mentioned that we're dependent creatures on food. But Jesus responds to the devil being tempted with food by saying, we truly live by God's word, by who he is and who he said he is. Right? And this comes from the passage of Deuteronomy. Which is so interesting. If you had to base your survival against the devil with your knowledge of Deuteronomy, how well would we do, right? Probably not great. But he had Deuteronomy memorized as a good Jewish student. And he said, this passage comes from when the people were led into the wilderness after they escaped their slavery from the Egyptians. They go into the desert and they're complaining, like, we're starving. I wish we could go back to Egypt and get these big pots of meat that we had while they were slaves. They forgot that part. And so what God does, he provides like a bread-like substance. You don't know exactly what it is. But a bread-like substance that came down from the sky and fed them. So God was trying to teach them, depend on me for your food. Depend on me for everything, because I will provide what you need. That's the whole point of that passage. And the manna was representative of that. And when people, it's fascinating side notes, when people took more than they were supposed to, because God said, take what you need for the day and leave the rest, it'll come every day. Don't worry. But like many people today, where it does, like, well, if it's available, I'm going to take a whole bunch of it. So I'm secure. Well, all that manna came filled with worms, right? You're not edible. As God was trying to say, depend on me every day. That's what that's all about, right? And that's how what Jesus uses, this quotation from Deuteronomy, saying, the scripture, to turn us over to bread, is like, no, we don't depend on breath. We depend on Jesus. We depend on God for everything, because God has given us everything that we need to eat. God's given us skills and ability and education and a mind and a body to provide food for ourselves. So God gives us everything. So he determined the fast and would not give in to temptation, right? Jesus saying, no, I'm going to decide when I quit the fast, I'm not going to let temptation or the devil tell me that I could eat, because he's just saying that's show yourself who you are. No, he decided I'm going to fast for this long. This is how long I'm going to fast. I'm not going to let the devil tempt me, because I know that we depend. I depend. Jesus depended. We all depend on God for everything. So he ends the fast on his own terms rather than giving in. So this is why we fast as well as believers. The Christian fast is not to lose weight or to be healthy, even though the science proves that's all true. There's many physical benefits for fasting. But that's not why Christians fast, believers fast. We don't fast for those reasons. It's just like a science benefit. We fast to pair this time of sacrifice with connection with the Lord. Right? We're saying, we're declaring as a body or individually or with your family, we're declaring, God, we love you. We need you more than the food on our plates. We depend on you more than that. That Jesus, he sustains us and he satisfies us. That he is the giver of life. So this is a time when you spend reading the Bible, praying, and worshiping him. Now, we're supposed to do that anyways, believers, right? This is an intensive, more disciplined time, spending extra time rather than your normal daily devotions and your worship of the Lord. You're spending extra time focusing on him. This is the time where I need you. In a condensed, special way. So the time, and also think about all the time you say you're not eating, you're not cooking, you're not eating, you're not ordering. They use you all that extra time. What do you use all that time? We spend time praying, seeking the Lord, at whatever that thing that God has put on your heart that you want to change for this year, for our church. How do you want CIC to grow and change and be better and reach more people and expand the kingdom of God in Kuwait and see this place transformed into a place and a people that worships the true God? Those are all things you can be talking to God about and reading his word and pray to him. Right? That's what fulfilling the scripture is, right? We're not living by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So you read the word, you process the word, you meditate on the word, you pray through the Word during this time. Because God sustains, He provides, He strengthens us more than food ever can and ever will. God has the power to sustain us for as long as we need to be with Him. He gives us true relief from our problems. Food is a good thing, but it is not everything, and it cannot solve any of our problems. Right? Except for our hunger problems. It can solve that, but it can't satisfy us the way Jesus can solve any problem that you have. Or He can walk you through it. Sometimes He'll deliver you from things. Sometimes He'll deliver you through things. Right? If you think of the in Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the furnace. They were in the furnace, but Jesus was with them in that, not delivering them from that, but through that. So that's what we're saying when we fast in our hearts, that God, you provide and you strengthen and you deliver and you sustain. And it's also, so it's a declaring, we're declaring to God inwardly, we value you more than the food and our values, whatever that thing is. I value you more than scrolling through Facebook or Instagram. I value you more than this meal that I prepared. But it's also, on the flip side, it's a crying out to God for help when we get hungry or when we feel weakened, right? Because when you fast, there can be a weakening effect on your physical body, and you're saying, God, help me, right? It's another great time to pray, God, I am starving. Please help me get through this. And God, you will meet God in a unique way in your weakness, right? In the weakness, because there will be moments if you fast, no matter what it is, you're saying, I need this thing. So God, please be with me. Please help me. Get me through these moments. And He will. He absolutely will. And then you will have a more better relationship with Him through this time. But God, He did help me. Yes, it doesn't always go away instantly, but it does go away. And we're saying, God, you are better, but help me, get me through this, strengthen me, Lord. And that's what that thing is all about, right? It's first a declaration that's saying we value God more than food, and we draw closer to you. And it's crying out to God saying, I need help. I am limited, and I need the unlimited Savior to help me get through this time. And He shows His faithfulness, and He will show us that He's been faithful to me. I've done fast over the years. And yes, of course, there's never been a time where I'm like, that was easy, you know, no problem. No, it's like a struggle. Especially for any sort of sustained amount of time. So that's what fasting is. It's drawing closer to the Lord. It's also... Fasting is obedience to God. It's obedience to God. So I'm going to pull another scripture. I didn't put it on the screen, but follow with me. This is Matthew 6:16. And Jesus says, When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that the fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So the most interesting thing about this passage, one of many interesting things, is Jesus, what does He say? Did He say, if you fast? No, He says, when you fast. So this is assumed. Jesus is assuming that His followers, that His disciples, will fast. And if you look at the historical records, you know, Jews during the first century would fast usually 2 days a week. And the Christians, the newly formed believers in Christ, Jews, which they were later called Christians, they said, we're also going to fast. We're going to pick our different days, though. Just so that we can distinguish ourselves, we're also going to fast twice a week. So, Jesus assumes that we fast, the early church fasted on a regular basis. And he's also explaining, you know, the Pharisees showed their holiness to others by, you know, looking like they're fasting, looking miserable. Because you sometimes feel miserable when you're fasting. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, would heighten that by, you know, making their faces look disfigured, not washing, looking dirty and gross. It's like, wow, those are so holy, they're fasting. Jesus says, now they've received their reward. Their reward is not for me. They're not doing this any of this stuff for me. They're doing it for other people. So people can say, wow, they're so holy. They're so righteous. They're so godly. They look like they're suffering, but it's not for others. It's not to show humility. Right? Fasting, like I said before, you're crying out to God for help because you're humbling yourself. You're saying, I am so weak. Now, the Pharisees, they did it out of pride. You can strengthen yourself to maybe do this in your own flesh, but there's no reward from that, from God. It's before, when you fast, you're fasting before the Lord. You're not fasting for men. Now, I also want to encourage you, I used to do this, don't lie. Right? I would say people, you know, I remember going out to Applebee's and I was fasting. And they said, Chris, why don't you do anything? I'm not hungry. You know, I was like dying of hunger. You don't have to lie. That's not what Jesus is saying. Why would I lie about fasting? It's just a silly thing. I don't do that anymore. But it's supposed to be, the point that Jesus is making here is to be done without making a big deal out of it. And actually, you know, when you're telling people as you're going through it, if people ask, that's a great opportunity to witness, right? Because they, especially in this culture, they think, Muslims think that they fast and everyone else doesn't, right? Christians don't fast. Actually, we do. Jesus asks us to. And how is it different, right? They fast because everyone else, they see everyone else doing it. And it's like a shame-based thing. It's like, if I do this, man, I'm going to look so terrible. I've had so many students when I was teaching tell me, oh, yeah, I eat, but I do it secretly, you know, because I don't want to, you know, it's a shame thing. I was like, well, I think you're all missing the point here, whether you're doing it or not doing it. But it's about a drawing closer to God. It's about obeying God, right? Jesus assumes that we fast. He does say, if you're a believer in me, you are to be fasted. And it's not just about drawing close to God and obeying Him, but it's also about helping, loving, and serving others. This great passage from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 3, and let me read it to you. It says, this is God talking to the ancient people of Israel about 700 years before Christ. It says, behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Right? So you don't fast just so you're mean and irritable to your family and your friends, right? That's what God's talking about. See, you fast so that you can be, you know, an excuse to be mean to your workers and all the people that you interact with. right? I mean, you look at the people in this culture, right? If you've been here for a year, you know that in Ramadan, the worst time to be in traffic is right before iftar, because people are totally insane, right? They drive as fast as they can. They need that cigarette so bad. And they are going to run you over. They will happily kill you to get to what they need. And you think it's not a joke. You have to wait here a long time. It is terrible. I cannot go out during the iftar, right before iftar. I would not recommend it. But they're doing exactly what Isaiah says not to do, right? You're not helping the poor. You're not seeking the oppressed. You're just being miserable. You see it. You go to the government offices during Ramadan. I also don't recommend. Or you interact with many of the local people during Ramadan. They sleep all day, right? And they eat all night, and they gain weight during fasting. How is that possible? Because you're not doing it right. You're not doing what the God of the Bible says to do, right? And they complain, and they are miserable. I mean, I've interrupted for years with people, and they said, oh, now why do they even make us work at all? We should have the whole month off. I don't say no. It's just like, it's your fault. You know, your government does this. But that's not the point of the fast, right? He says to loose the bonds of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, to love others better and more fervently than ever before. You're seeking glory, saying, I want to help everyone I can in this place. Right? We are not to be mean and selfish. And yes, that's going to be a temptation if you do this. You're not going to always feel 100%. But you've got to seek the Lord and say, God, help me to love my wife, to love my kids, to love my students, to love my colleagues, to love my pastor better in the sense I'm not happy. I'm struggling. That's what it means to be humble before God. You're seeking God to help you get through it. And to be a person who loves justice and righteousness, people who love to help the poor and the needy, to give even more sacrificially during this time, pushing ourselves to do good and to care for others, and to love and serve people at home, at work, and at church. Pray for the state of Kuwait, to care, that Kuwait would care for the oppressed, to make sure that our workers, and I've talked to so many workers here who have not been paid by their employer because they can't, right? So that's what you can pray for. Or even also pray and then help those people. There's people in our church. I'm not talking about out there. I'm coming in here. People have not been paid for months for the work they've done. And they're not planning to get paid. Like that employer said, well, you have no power, so what are you going to do? Right? There is oppression and there is wickedness in this place, and we pray for that and we help those people as best as we can. That is what God's fast is. And to defend those who have been defrauded, to love them and to serve them. And we fast in secret to receive God's reward, because God rewards all those who are faithful to Him. Not because that, like I said, not because it makes you a believer, but because God wants to bless every act, every faithful act. For Jesus said, if you become a cold water in the name of Christ, you will not lose your reward, right? So Jesus is saying, not only do I bring you to myself in my kingdom, but anything you do for me, I will bless that. I will reward you. I will give you grace. And then finally, reading close to the end here, fasting brings God's presence and blessing. This is what we're all hoping for through the fast. And this is the same passage, but it continues. This is Isaiah 58, 8 through 11. If you do the fast that God requires, God asks from his people, he says, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. And then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So we fast for a reason, because that sounds like I want all of that. I want healing. I want my righteousness to go forth. I want my darkness to let the new day. I want to be like a watered garden, right? That's actually not just satisfying myself, but it's overflowing to help others. Isn't that how we all want our lives to be? That's why we fast, right? We want that change in our lives. And God wants this too for us. That's why he says, this is the fast that I choose for you, right? We want that change, whether there's, you know, it's a New Year's resolution, something that we've been battling for years in our lives, illness, broken relationships, whatever that is, healing of our own weakness and brokenness. We are broken and weak people. That's why God came to say to sick, right? And we have all sickness and sin and brokenness and weakness in our lives. And Jesus says here that he will repair that as we fast. I want a better relationship with Jesus this year. I want to know him. I want to feel firm and confident that he will give me through anything that happens in my life. Not just saying the words, but believing it deep down in the core of my being. Don't you want that as well? He will answer our prayers and he will change us. We will have the joy of the Lord, the joy that surpasses, that's incomprehensible, because it defies even our circumstances. He will lead us through all those difficult circumstances we're going through. And I don't know what yours is, but we all have that, right? We live in a sin, sick, and broken world. Wherever those difficult things are, he will lead you with joy and victory if we fast to the Lord, and that even our worst day will be like the new, right? We are the garden that is watered with continual blessing. That's the result of our fasting. And you see this in the passage in Luke, right? Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. If you look at verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, right? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and fasting. He came out in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that's why everyone praised him, and he was doing amazing things, because he spent this time dedicating himself to the Lord, right? He was full of the Spirit. He was a Christian. He was a believer. He was God, Jesus. Full of the Spirit, fasted. After he left the Spirit, left the fast, he was in the power of the Spirit and began his ministry on earth. And this is probably what we need into this. I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, right? I want to live the life that I'm meant to live. I want to be the best version of myself. I want to be more holy. And you want that too. I want the Spirit to flow through me and out of me. And that does not just come through hype, right? It comes through fasting. That's what Jesus says, right? As you humble yourself, the power of the Holy Spirit will flow in you and through you to help and serve and love others. And we need more of this. And as a church, time at a time, as a church, I want this church to make an impact for the kingdom of God. God, for some reason, has allowed our church, our lampstand, as it says in Revelation, our menorah, to continue in this land. But I wanted to make it a powerful impact for the kingdom of God, to be more effective as a body and to have more unity, to grow in numbers, in depth, in giving, in serving. I want all those things. And therefore, we fast as a body so that our church can be that light to this dark place. It's not just a spiritual clip for us. Yes, we get refreshed, right? But we're also to be God's ministers to go out and show this world about Christ. So in conclusion, if the worship team, Berlin, you want to come up? Fasting is denying our bodies food or something we usually enjoy. Fasting is to focus that time on the Lord. Fasting is to obey God because he assumes believers fast, and not for others, but for his reward. Finally, we fast to receive God's transformation and change. So what's going to happen? You guys stand up on your feet. I'll pray this move. We are starting a fast tomorrow, and we're going to end it next Friday. So if you have not, I've sent the emails and the WhatsApp for probably 3 or 4 weeks now. But if you missed all of that, what I'm saying, I'll say it one more time now. We are fasting as a church. And I want you to really consider today and pray about what do you want to fast to the Lord. And I mentioned several kinds of fasts. You still have questions about that, you can see me after the service. But you can just fasting with just water. You can give up a meal. You can give up rich foods. You can give up screen time. Whatever that is, we're going to do that. So it's going to be for 6 days, basically, starting tomorrow. And we'll break the fast as a church next Friday. And I would love, so as you're thinking about this, it hasn't happened yet, if you have a testimony through this time that we're going to know, something you'd like to share, it doesn't have to be like, you know, the living Jesus came to you, it took you to Jerusalem and just the myth that God did anything in your life, spoke to you in your heart, or changed something or healed something. I would text me, not the morning of, like Thursday night, so I can be prepared mentally for it. I would love you to share, right? Because God does work through fast, I guarantee that. So be praying and thinking about that as you're fasting if you want to get a testimony. And obviously pray for things in your life, but also pray for this church. God has allowed this church to survive and to grow and to thrive. And I want it to go to the next level in being a camp, an outpost for God's kingdom. That's the result of fasting. So pray about this. Do this. We're going to do one final song. Okay? Do one final song. Let me pray. And then let me pray. God, I thank you so much for the spiritual discipline of fasting that you've given us. That not only do we get a chance to know you and have a relationship with you, but you've put means in our lives to experience your grace. Means to get to know you better. Fasting is one of them. And I pray for each one of us that they would find some way to fast something for you this next 6 days. And that you would speak to them and you would bless them and you would heal them. And whatever that thing that's on their hearts and mind, that you would break that. Help all of us as we do this. Obviously, now fasting is not always easy. Give us the strength and the desire to engage with you in this way, to spend extra time in your word and seeking you in the spirits. God, continue to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.